He has made me glad. What was the other one where he gives and takes away? What is that one? Blessed be your name. I love that message. He gives and takes away. You know, I think we have a wrong understanding of that. I think we think of him as taking away good stuff for our benefit. No, that's not the give and take away. He only gives good gifts, and all the gifts he gives are good. He takes away what isn't good. Isn't that a different concept? So when he takes away, he's taken away from us things that we have a tendency to hold on that aren't healthy for us. I mean, that's a different way to look at this. So we are in a series based on the movie 7 Days in Utopia. And Dennis started it last week speaking about see God's face. Wow, that's interesting. That's an accident. See God's face. It doesn't look like my PowerPoint that I typed out, though. So that's interesting. Another thing about technology, it never fails. So I won't dwell on it. See God's face. He did a wonderful job of it last week. He said, seeing God's face is what living in the kingdom is about. And that we need to see God's face in other people. And we need to see God's face rightly. And so when I think about this part of the series that we're doing, I think of this appealing to our head. Because in order to see God's face, we have to think correctly. We have to conceptualize and understand that conceptualizing is a part of seeing God's face. You don't think, you don't have a concept, you don't have an idea of who God is. And so let's face it, our whole beginning of understanding of God is about thoughts we have about who he is. Now, we get those thoughts from all over the place, but we want those thoughts to help us see God's face. And sometimes we may need to adjust our thoughts. Conceptualizing is important, and it's also seeing God's face is a part of the whole way we live life with a vision that formulates in our head. We learn to see with eyes of faith instead of seeing what's before us in this physical world. We start to see God's face. Wonderful message. Well, today's message is feel God's presence, and I think this appeals to your heart. So we've appealed to the head. Today we're going to appeal to the heart. Say amen, ladies. Because of all us heartless men, we need to, you know, there's some people laughing here. Okay. It touches on our need for compassion. So we've got conceptualizing, we've got compassion. And then Dennis is going to finish next week with trusting God's love, which really goes to our gut. It goes to our gut. When we trust, we can commit. And so, in this series, we are focusing on the whole person. The head, the heart, the gut. Isn't it beautiful? And so, SFT is what comes out of that. See God's face. Feel his presence. Trust in his love. SFT, the cure for the golf game of my friend Greg. Greg, are you now putting SFT on your golf balls? Not yet. I highly recommend it for you. Okay. but Greg is trying to straighten out his golf game with SFT. You know, Greg, if it doesn't straighten out your game, trust me, pursue SFT because it will make the game more enjoyable. Okay? It's a crazy game. Feel God's presence. Feel God's presence. You know, I think it's pretty appropriate to question that admonition. I mean, wow. Haven't we seen enough fallout from relationships with God based on feelings? Haven't we seen enough terrorism in the world charged with all kinds of emotion in the name of God? And it's not only Islamic. That terrorism can happen in Christianity, and it may have happened to you. It can happen in all kinds of faiths and beliefs. Charged emotion that leads to terrorism. Haven't we seen enough of people judging the quality of your faith based on your ecstatic experiences? Who wants to be judged for whether you have an ecstatic experience or an ecstatic utterance which makes you a first-class believer? That has all kinds of fallout written all over it. Haven't we had enough fallout from relationships with God based on feelings? Come on. Yes, we have. For that reason, I want to read you the message thought. For that reason, I printed this. When I realized I was doing a message titled "Feel God's Presence," I knew this would be good for me. The Enneagram, a gift to me from my mother-in-law. That's where I became aware of the Enneagram. If I have struggles with the Enneagram, you're reading between the lines, and now it's out there. The Enneagram is a personality inventory that organizes, like most personality inventories, around tendencies or predispositions. They can be considered compulsions when individuals are in dysfunction. One of the groupings in the Enneagram has to do with whether one is a head person, a heart person, or a gut person. In the Enneagram, I am a head person, which means that the more dysfunctional or compulsive I become, the more separated from my emotions I am. In fact, I have been accused of being emotionless at times, which which is a nice way of saying I have been considered to be a cold-hearted and unfeeling person, to which I have responded, "That's not true. I have deep thoughts about my feelings all the time." Amen. Larry, you and I are in sync here. We're cut from the same swath. Somehow, having thoughts about my feelings never seems to satisfy my accusers that I'm feeling much of anything. So, when the message, "Feel God's Presence," fell to me, I saw God's humor in it immediately. I think maybe a better title might be, "Should We Try to Feel God's Presence?" What do you think? Oh, because that characterized my relationship with God. The God I embraced, the God I came to know. I used to, with great conviction and pride, make this statement. If I had a dollar for every time I made this statement, we'd all go out to dinner. We feel safer with a non-emotional God, or at least a God above the uncertainty of feelings. True? That makes sense in my mind. Oh. You mean you may rephrase that a little differently. A God who is above feelings may result in a very unsafe person who has a misunderstanding of who God is. I suppose that's what you're going to say. Well, the statement that, well, by the way, this is a text that I loved in light of that. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Get control of those emotions. God is above them. Now, I embrace that. I embrace that because for the longest time, before I accepted God into my life and saw the light, I used to navigate my life in my head. And it worked pretty well for me most of the time. But then there would come times in my life when navigating life with my head alone, I would confront something I couldn't control. I would be faced with something that couldn't be managed in my head alone. Have you ever experienced that? I think all of you have. And so then I would get angry because anger was safe for me. And after having enough of those spin-outs, I think it was the thing that led me to God. And so when I embraced God, with that background, when I embraced God, I clung to a God who was above emotion because I needed somebody to control my emotion. And so it was easy for me to picture God as above emotion. I used to say this. This is the statement I thought we were getting to. This is where I get off my notes. That we'd go to dinner if I had a dollar for every time I said this. So I would say things like this. You are far more likely to act your way into feeling than you are to feel your way into action. Believe it? Oh, I used to preach it. Come on. You feel bad, and people would whine to me, and people would come and pour their hearts out to me, and I'd hear this, and I'd have not a lot of patience with it, and I'd be thinking all the time, just act, doggone it. Just pull up your boots. Come on. Just be strong. Just start acting, because your emotions will follow those actions. You will act your way into feeling far more often than you will feel your way into action. If you wait to feel your way into action, you'll be feeling all the time, and you probably won't get the right feeling that'll boot you in the seat of the pants and get you moving. So I guess I'm not the guy to preach this message. But in my mid-40s, I had another spin out. Thank God for spin outs. You know? Thank God that He lets us spin out. He doesn't make us spin out. He lets us spin out. Thank God He lets us spin out and He takes the ride with us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't jump out of the car. He's right there with us when we're spinning out. And thank God for those spin outs. Thank God. Because it is hard for Him. Now, here's a picture I want you to get. If you think it's easy when you spin out for God to be with you, no, you don't understand God. He is suffering with you as much as you're suffering, in fact, more. Because you know what? He has the power to end it just like that. Which you don't. But God could end your suffering. He could end your negative feelings. He could end your spin out. He could relieve it. Just like that. Instead, He says, listen, I'm going to come be company with you in this spin out. And the fact that I can relieve it at any time makes it a lot more intense for me than for you. And the fact that I can see the damage it's doing in you and the damage it's doing with everybody else in your sphere of influence makes it even more painful for me. Isn't that a loving God? Wow. So in my mid-40s, I had a spin out. And you know what the remedy was? A godly man that I got hooked up with in my life who said, after a number of sessions with him, I think you're ready for something. And I said, I'm ready for anything now. He said, I think you're ready for an intensive. I said, okay, this seems pretty intense to me, but what is that? He said, I'm going to put you in a house I have in a beautiful environment where you can be by yourself. No problem, let's bring that on. For 2 weeks. And if that won't bring you in touch with your emotions, nothing will. I spent my time crying, laughing, writing about my feelings for 2 weeks. I started feeling with God. I started having a different relationship to emotion in my mid-40s. You see, we do something with our feelings that simply doesn't serve us well. Here's what we do with them. We split them. We split them. We also have a tendency to do it to God and to our humanity. In order to feel God's presence, we must stop splitting God, splitting our humanity, and splitting our emotions. If we want to feel the presence of God, do you want to feel the presence of God?
Yeah.
You got to stop this. Thanks. Glad you asked. We split God when we say, He is merciful, but He is just. And there will come a time when He will be more just than merciful. We just split God. You get it? We split God. We do that to God. He is patient, but He is angry. And there will be a time when He will be more angry than patient. We split God. He is pleased, but He is disappointed. And someday His disappointment will move Him. We split God. He is love, but He is judge. We split God. Here at WinWorks, we're on a journey where we're trying to put God together for ourselves. He doesn't need it. We need it. So we like to say things like what's on that poster right there in the back. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing, nothing you can do to make God love you less. You don't need to split Him. His love is constant. His love never ceases. You see, when we split Him, we do weird things to Him. We start saying that there's a time when He runs out of this good stuff and He reverts to the bad stuff. And then we've got to be careful that we don't get the bad stuff. We split God, and it's terrible. This is not how God describes Himself. He is not a split personality, amen? He says, I am. I am. There are so many reasons for which He said that and so much meaning in it for the Jewish people. But it should have meaning for you and me. I am. I am one. I am whole. Which I think we should think every time we say holy. What's holy about God? He is one. It was the mantra of the Hebrew people. Our God is one God. He is one. What do they mean? He is whole. He is integrated completely, which we get the word integer from, which we do, but which we get the word integrity from. Integers are just kind of whole. I am. Isn't that good news? God is not the sum of His parts. God is not the sum of His parts. When we split Him, we got Him in parts. But the good news is, neither are you. Neither are you the sum of your parts. We can never feel God's presence when we split ourselves into good or bad. But we do it, don't we? We split ourselves, our humanity, into good or bad. When we split ourselves into good or bad, then we reduce our meaning to people doing good instead of bad. This defines too much of our experience with God. I am a follower of Jesus. Well, what does that mean? That means that I'm trying to do good instead of bad. It means I believe in good instead of bad. It means I am pursuing good and resisting evil. It defines us this way. when we split ourselves. God is telling us to shift our meaning to being good. It is huge. There is a tremendous difference between trying to do good and being good. I want you to get this because you will never understand how to pursue feeling God's presence if you don't understand this. Being good is not trying to be something you aren't. Being good is being who you are and who you were created to be. I think of all kinds of texts here, but think of the one in 1 John 3 where it says, brothers and sisters, you are sons and daughters of God. Yet it does not quite appear to be so. I'm paraphrasing. But when he comes again, it will be complete. And so he says, don't split yourself. You are a son and a daughter of mine. Don't split yourself. Now in Ephesians, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 because we love to read this passage as proof of a formula that we can embrace to get something from God called salvation, which is a bad way to think about salvation. Salvation isn't something that we can treat like a formula that we respond to in order to get something good from God called salvation or escape from something bad. It ain't that. Chapter 2, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is, because of his what? Great love. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That is the imagery of Christ dying on the cross, being resurrected and ascending. And he said, God had you, Jesus had you in his heart. And he has gone to be present with God, the Father, and he has you in his heart. In Colossians it says, you are therefore hid in Christ in the heavenly realms. Now, I want you to get this. Do you understand that this has been true always? This has been true always. If we understand that we have been in God's heart since before the creation of the world, if we understand that we've been in his mind, in his heart, in his being, that the manifestation of us in a human body is not our beginning. Are you with me here? Your human body isn't your beginning. The conceptualizing of you in the womb is not your beginning because God says, I knew you before you were in the womb. We have been in his heart forever. Now, it's with that understanding that this whole idea of salvation changed. We've always been saved in God's heart. It is left to determine whether we will respond to the salvation we've always had in God. Are you with me? Now, with that, we can read the next verse. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He will show his kingdom to the world through you and me. For it is by grace, which God has always been, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, not by doing good, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, or I should say here, because notice the contrast. You don't get this salvation by working. Well, then what are these good works that we do? These good works we do are works which were God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you get the picture? God has in advance, when He has had you in His heart, He has had good works in mind that only you can fulfill. Only you. And when you enter the kingdom, that's what you're doing. And when you feel God's presence, that's what you're doing. Being good is the good news of living in the kingdom of God. It is the journey of feeling God's presence. When we split God and we split humanity, then we split our feelings, and feelings become good or bad. Right? So a split God and a split you and a split others will lead to split emotions. Examine our actions. You may say, oh, I don't do that. Feelings just, they're not good or bad. Oh, yeah? Examine your actions. Examine how much effort you put into avoiding bad ones. Name some bad emotions. Name some negative emotions. Name a negative emotion. Come on. Fear. Name another one. Anger. Name another one. What? Jealousy. Name another one. Envy. Name another one. Bitterness. Name another one. Terror. We could go on and on and on. And I would say, you do your best to avoid them. You are so instinctive about this, and so am I, that as soon as something happens, you move in a way to avoid the feelings. We do it all the time. And think about the good emotions. Think about the good emotions. Joy, peace, excitement, fun. You know, all those wonderful things. We try our best to move towards those. Let's do this. It'll be fun. Let's do this. It'll be relaxing. Let's do this. I need it because I'm full of stress, and I want to do this to relieve my stress. And so we put energy in moving toward these positive emotions. Listen, I understand that we're kind of wired that way automatically, but I've learned that just going with the flow isn't always the best way to go. But I'm tempted to say, let's just throw all these negative emotions out, get rid of them, and only live in the positive ones. See, that's what I kind of used to think about God. He was above emotion, but I was very willing for Him to be in the positive emotions and lead me down them with bliss. So let's just throw the negative emotions away. Well, John Robertson said this, if only we could. If only we could. When we split God and we split humanity, then we split our feelings, and feelings become good or bad. Yesterday, as always, when I am preaching a message, I usually get an experience. Yesterday, I went back to the Outback because we went to the Outback when the power was off, and we invited our neighbors on either side of us, two women. So I was in the car with three women. And then I was at the restaurant with three women, and then I was back in the car with three women. And it wasn't pretty. I mean, needless to say, there were some comments about men that were flying between. Go figure. Well, my wife, thinking all the time, brought our cell phones and our chargers to charge them at the Outback. And so they had to charge them in another place, and So we were charging them, and then we went, and she remembered to get them. But when we got back, she found out that in the charger, there's a little attachment that fits into the end of it that plugs in, and it was pulled out, and the little attachment was left in the cord on one of the chargers. And so yesterday she noticed it, and she asked me to go to get that and pick that up. So I went to the Outback to do that, and when I pulled into the Outback, there were people standing around and not going in and standing at the door. Well, I went up to, and that was kind of like the day before, because the day before we stood around, we waited because they opened at 4, and I had a first experience. I was the first one in the restaurant. Have you ever been the first one in a restaurant? You ought to try it sometime. It's great. You get a lot of quick service, and you know, you pretty trust that the food's probably pretty fresh and all that. But here they were standing around just like yesterday, but this time there was a sign on the door and said, and I was getting there about 5:20, and the sign said, we'll open at 5:30. And so they had power loss, and they were regained the power, and so now they had to do all the prep work, and so they were delaying opening. So I went back and got in my car. There was a, by the way, I pulled in because there weren't a lot of parking lots. I pulled in between a huge truck with big oversized tires on my left and another little car on my right. But, you know, when I got out, I was really careful, and I was thankful because I intentionally lined the car up so the door would open up to the tire. And so it opened up to the tire. Anyway, I got out, went and checked, and then went back to my car to make some phone calls. When I called you, June. So went back, made some phone calls, and then got out again. And as I got out the third time, the woman came out from the passenger side of the truck and said to me, "Will you please stop hitting our car with your door? You've done it 3 times now." The emotion charged through me. I mean, it flooded into me. I was so eager to have this discussion. I said, "For your information, I've been very careful about my car door. Look, it opens right at the tire. It was going against your tire. Thank you very much." And I stormed off. That bad person. Out to get me. That bad person and only bad. That bad person that deserved my judgment and my righteousness because I was right and she was wrong. Well, I didn't stop there. I went and retrieved the part that was there, and I went back, and she was in front of my car speaking to her husband and another couple, and I even got their attention, interrupted their conversation, and said, "Excuse me, look." And I opened the door and put it against the tire and said, it's fine. And the husband says, "That's better." And I said, "No, not better, the same as always." And I got in my car and I drove off in a huff. Well, the windshield wipers started going in the rain, and there was smearing stuff all over my windshield. And I'm thinking, what is this smearing all over my windshield? It's like just smearing the windshield like crazy. And then I get home, park, and I see that all over the front of my hood is what looks like a nice juicy latte of some kind that was was placed all over my windshield and the front of my car. I still didn't let it go. I came home and shared it with my wife, and I got her riled up. She was ready to go back and do battle with that woman. Now, I'm sure these kinds of experiences aren't anything that you have ever had to battle with before, right? But this is what I've come to learn about emotions or feelings. Just real quick. It's not so much that they're good or bad, they just are. You agree with that? Let's not put them in a good, bad category. They just are. In fact, more on that. They just are, and they seem to have a mind of their own. Isn't it true? They seem to have a mind of their own. It just floods into me. Yes, and I'm not responsible for it. It just floods into me. And if it takes control of me, I'm not responsible for that. It just overcame me. And they have a way of coming and going. Have you ever noticed that? Emotions just seem to come and they seem to go. And they are constantly changing. So what's up with these things? They're God's idea. He created them. God is emotional, and we are in His image. I just want you to do a Bible study. Look, I have just a brief Bible study right here, chalked on this page. There's so many scriptures here about gladness, about happiness, about compassion, about suffering, about sorrow, about all kinds of emotion. And you know, a lot of it is not only our encouragement to live in these emotions, but a lot of it is about God's emotions. There's anger. And it doesn't tell us, don't have these emotions. It doesn't tell us that at all. And here's something else. They are emotions. They do move us. Just think about my story. They move us, man. And they have an honesty about them. Whatever the emotion you're feeling it. And it's the most honest declaration of where you're at in a given moment in time. You with me? Your emotion that you're experiencing right now is the most honest assessment of where you're at right now. If you're tired, you're sleeping, and you're struggling to stay awake, it's where you're at right now. If I get upset about it, that's my problem. If you sleep, that's probably good for you. If you're worried, it's the most honest thing going on with you right now. So if you're worrying about stuff, be in that worry because it's trying to speak to you. If you're angry, it's speaking to you. If you're hurt, it's speaking to you. When we allow our feelings to move us to be in God's kingdom, we are feeling God's presence. Amen. I could shut it up down right now and say, this is the end, this is the point. To feel God's presence is this. When we allow our feelings to move us, to be in God's kingdom, we are feeling God's presence. I don't care whether the emotion is a negative one or a positive one. If we are feeling that and letting it move us in His kingdom, that is feeling the presence of God. Amen? That's a different way to look at feelings. Now, we are not subject to our feelings. We are partnershipping with our feelings. And if we are willing to do that, it will change our lives. It will change our relationships. If we are willing to do that. Feeling God's presence is about acing our feelings. I got this from Kevin Brown, one of the three men that founded WinWorks. Years ago, I got this from him. Acing your feelings. I've changed it a little bit. When we're acing our feelings, we have to access our feelings. There are some, today, what came up in our class is, do you think feelings are coming from the conscious mind or the subconscious mind? That was Jerry's question. A bunch of us leapt all over it, you know, like vultures landing on him. Jerry, it's easy, both. But here's the thing, Jerry. When the feelings are in our subconscious, we don't have access to them. Are you with me? And I contend the more access we get of our feelings, the more we're hearing of God and from God and communicating with God. See, here's the problem. We don't access our feelings, and we can misconstrue that with being above our feelings, like I used to, or not having feelings, like everybody thought of me. When really, not accessing our feelings, the feelings are still there. And the problem is they're charged with energy. And that energy is heaping up until we have a release point. And we go and rant and rave all over anybody near. Anybody that's done one little thing that doesn't square with the way I see the world, with the way I want to be, with the way I'm comfortable. And I ranted and I raved over that person yesterday. Well, it was a release point. Believe me, I know there was a lot of emotion that I wasn't accessing that came flooding out at that moment. You agree with that? Yes, you do, because you know you do it. So we have to access our feelings. But I know people who are so uncomfortable with accessing your feelings that as soon as in relationship with them, I try to get them to go to that place, they say, "We're done. We're done. I don't go there. I don't do that." Well, that's fine. How's that working for you? How's it working for you? Are you happy with the results you're getting? Access your feelings. Whoops. Access your feelings. And then when you've accessed them, claim them. Name them. I'm feeling hurt right now. Somebody came and reported to me that they didn't like the message I preached. Somebody came and reported to me that they talked to two people that didn't like the message I preached. I'm hurt. But if I don't access the hurt, I go to the anger. And the anger builds up, and it builds up, and builds up. And pretty soon, the release point becomes this sermon right now. You with me? So I'm releasing that right now. Hopefully in a healthy way. Because I accessed it as hurt after I got it as anger. And this is a better release point. I can come to you and say, "It hurts me when you do that. It hurts me, and I encourage you to come to me. If you don't like something you hear in the message, come to me. I invite you." Now, I throw out, and I admit this, a lot of energy that says I'm unapproachable and you can't change my thinking. I know. That's the way I project. All I can say is have courage and break through that, because I won't bite your head off. Claim your feelings. Over and over and over again, I got to claim my feelings. And then what I do is I express them with God, and together we find His presence. Do you see what feelings are for? Do you see what they're for? If you're having a relational problem in your life right now with anybody, I am telling you, you're having the problem because you need to go through this. Usually, when we have the problem, it's here. But the emotion that's led up to here is way back here. And we failed to access the emotion here, then we failed to access it again here, then we failed to access it again here, and then we're here, and doggone it, we are so cotton-picking mad, we can't see straight. So you got to access your feelings, you got to claim your feelings, and then you got to express them to God. With God, together, you find His presence through your emotions. What a world I am beginning to enter. I don't know if it's my old age or what. I do know this. The older I get, the more I cry. I was just looking to see if any of you other old guys there's one. Oh, there's another. Oh, now the wives are pointing to him. Ah, you know, he's getting to be a pretty good feeler. So here's the deal. If you are feeling, you are experiencing the connection of God. I want you to say that to yourself. If you are feeling, you are experiencing the connection of God. Read it with me. If you are feeling, no, say if I. If I am feeling, I am experiencing the connection of God. Because He is with you. He is feeling that feeling with you. And He is there with you to make sense of it all. And that is another way to relate to feelings. And that is feeling the presence of God. You know, sometimes He says, when we have a feeling or an emotion, He says, don't be afraid. Don't cry. Don't panic. And then I would write this down if you're taking notes. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7. You know, talk about it where Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And then he goes along all these feelings. We are, what, disappointed but not cast down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he builds through that. The experience we can have with emotion, with God, feeling God's presence. And then he ends it with this. And therefore, we set our eyes not on what is seen. Well, there's a new meaning to that, Jerry. We set our eyes on what is not seen. And your emotions are not seen. But we set our eyes on what is unseen. Because what is unseen is more real than what is seen. I changed the verse. It says what is unseen is temporary. Or what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. And I'll tell you what, when you see God's presence, when you feel God's presence, when you are on that journey, living in His kingdom, being who you're created to be, I've got good news for you. You're having an experience of eternity. You'll have an experience here that goes on forever. You enter that experience, it goes on forever. None of it is lost. You fight that experience, it will die. And if you hang on to that contrary experience, you'll die with it. This is not fire and brimstone. This is an invite to a different way of being. This is an invite that God makes. He says, feel my presence. I say, amen. Sometimes He says, feel this more deeply. You don't feel it enough. When I went on that intensive, He said, you're feeling in a fleeting way the emotions that I want you to spend 2 weeks in. Because we're going to do some groundbreaking work here. And it went back, though it manifests itself in my relationship with my wife and my children. I'm telling you, it went way back. The feelings I'd been stuffing for a long time. And He unearthed them. We felt them. And together, we felt His presence as the emotions were transformed. What does it say? He's going to turn tears to what? Joy, sorrow, and mourning to celebration and happiness. That's the process. You see, we what does it say in Romans? It says, we share in His inheritance if we share in His sufferings. We're not willing to share in His sufferings. Then we can't share in the inheritance. It's all over the Scripture. So sometimes He says, feel this more deeply. Let it speak to you. Be still and know that I am God. That's what He says. Instead of launching out from this charged emotion and acting, be still. Feel more. Talk to me. Own everything honestly so that you can learn with me. and learn of me and move on with me. Isn't that what you want? Every one of you are in here today with some emotion going on that I recommend you address this way. You start feeling God's presence. Sometimes he says, enjoy the feeling. Be with this emotion. That has freed me up to worship like a madman. You guys watch me. I'm here dancing. I'm here, you know, because I don't care what you think. Because I am free from that concern. What I know is I'm feeling with God. And I am wanting to be in that emotion. And God says, be there with me. Enjoy it. And then, you know, I learned to enjoy what is in my life rather than trying to cling to it and hang on to it for fear it's going to leave. Or instead of being guilty about it because we think we don't deserve it. Sometimes he says, enjoy this emotion. It's a gift. Be here now. Freely I give, freely you receive. Okay. I am here in this moment, he says. Be with me in it. Celebrate. You know, he said that to the brother that stayed. This really, really grieves me. He said this to the brother who stayed. And the brother who stayed could not celebrate. He could not rejoice in the joy of God's presence in his brother. If you are having any kind of conflict with anybody, friends, go back. Restate what you believe. God is in every human being. Celebrate the presence of God in that human being, with that human being. I'm not saying ignore the conflict. Be honest about it. Be honest about your emotions. But they have God too. And it will lead you to reconciliation. And sometimes he says, this feeling is the result of a lie you're telling yourself. It's still a result of what you're telling yourself. And so be in this emotion enough so that we can work together to bring up the lie. And then exchange the lie for the truth, because Jesus is the true witness speaking to you all the time. Is he not? I have so much scripture here. I'm just going to stop right now. I'm just going to say enough is enough. If you are feeling, you are experiencing the connection of God. If you are feeling, you can feel the presence of God. It's your choice. It's your choice. Feeling the presence of God is not one specific emotion. Get that out of your head. It's whatever emotion is there. And experiencing it with God, that's feeling his presence. Let's stand for prayer. Lord God, I want to thank you before all these friends of mine and brothers and sisters of mine for your good humor, for your seeing fit to let this message fall on me. I thank you for these wonderful friends of mine who have come and amused me with their presence and their attention or their appearance of it, so that I could have a process, Lord, that I needed this week. Lord, I want to feel your presence. And I think we all want to feel your presence. We will not split you. We will not split ourselves. We will not split our brothers and sisters.
and we will not split our emotions. We will access them. We will claim them. We will express them with you and let you bring us more into your presence, into your kingdom, where we feel it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Way from Bangladesh to Bangor, Maine, down from Montreal on the Santa Fe, love.